In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, at around 6 o'clock, a lot of individuals are going to be gathered in various rooms. Tonight at around 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3 o'clock on the West Coast, don't ask me what time that would be in Hawaii. Anybody been to Hawaii? How many hours is Hawaii?
6 hours.
Six. You two get together, whichever one it is, let us know. A lot of people are going to be in a room. And there's going to be a camera on those individuals. And they're going to be watching to see where and how they are placed. And you're going to see people excited, you're going to see people crying, and then you're going to see people with the same emotion but disappointed, because they didn't get into the big dance, as what it's known. And then, as soon as all of that takes place at around 6:40 p.m., you or your friends or your loved ones are going to call up and say, all right, when are we going to get together? We got to get our brackets together, because it's March Madness. And everyone is going to be getting ready and getting everything ready for that. Now, you might say, well, why is our priest for the main sermon talking about March Madness and brackets? Well, because, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, today we stand before the doors of Great Lent, ready to compete ourselves. And the bracket is wide open for us. And we're able to be placed on that bracket of that 40-day journey, and we can begin with the first game. The first game of forgiveness. Our Lord said that we must first of all forgive others their sins against us. God will not forgive our sins unless we forgive those who have wronged us in any way. And Lent is a beautiful time for repentance, a time of sorrow, and a time of leaving and pushing away sin, and a time of serving God in His love. But we cannot have forgiveness for ourselves unless we first forgive. When we ask God to forgive us in the measure, He grants that as long as we grant forgiveness to others as well. And of course, it follows that if we do not forgive others, well, let's just say that if we don't forgive others, then God may not forgive us. So first round is of forgiveness. And if we're able to get through the first round, and guess what? Sometimes the first round, it's shocking. You might have a number one seed and it's, oh, it's never going to happen. Guess what? It happened a couple years ago. A 16 seed beat the number one seed. And a few times, the 15 seed beats a 2 seed. Even though that 2 seed is a power rank team. Sometimes that feeling can come around that anybody can win. And especially the devil is active during this time. No, you don't need to forgive him. Don't do it. They hurt you. Keep a grudge. You're Greek. It's in your blood. Just kidding. It's easy to forgive somebody if they forgot something and something else along those lines. But when somebody really hurts us, simply just look at Scripture and look at God and just look at the words of our Lord on the cross when He said, forgive them for they not know what they do. So if we can get past the first round, then we get into the second round. After forgiveness, we get into the second round of that bracket, and our Lord speaks about fasting. And now fasting is as old as the human race. It was the failure to fast. When did fasting start? Does anybody know? When did fasting start? When do you think it started? Who said that? Father, you can't give the answers away. You're only proving that degree is worth what we, you and I have together. But he's right. Fasting started at the time of Adam and Eve. When God told Adam and Eve, you may have everything you want. Remember, they didn't know what desire was. They didn't have a desire. They didn't know. Everything was provided for them. But God said, do not partake. Do not have anything to do with the tree of knowledge. So right there was a sense of fasting. And right there and then, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, failed. And St. Basil said, because we didn't fast, we were chased out of paradise. Let us fast now so we can get back into it, which is why today the theme on Forgiveness Sunday is also the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. Because it reminds us that in the beginning, we were created to be with God in paradise with Him. But because we messed up, He doesn't take paradise away, but He calls us to return back to Him in paradise. But we have to do our thing. What does it mean to fast? And I don't mean by simply changing our food types for a certain period of time, because maybe one's dietary issues aren't able to do that and can bring harm. But for those that are able to, that are healthy enough to abstain from certain things, the church guides us that during this period, we are to not satisfy our pleasures, but to satisfy the one who is. This is why we fast, to make sure that the spirit and the flesh are working side by side, thinking of the one more than the other. Our fasting must be in the spirit as well as in the body, as St. Basil said. How good is your fast if you don't eat meat, but you tear your neighbor apart with hatred? I'm going to say that again. How good is your fast if you don't eat meat, but you tear your neighbor apart in hatred? The fathers of the church tell us that the whole being of fasting is what matters. That we must abstain from evil thoughts and let our memories fast from evil remembrances. Let our tongue abstain, not from the mere foods that come in, but from the gossip, the lies, and the deceit that we may spread. Let our ears fast from hearing maybe things that are not appropriate for us, or we would not want a 4 or 5-year-old to listen to. Remember what our Lord said? Pointing to the children. We must make sure that our hands rest from taking another person's good. We must be fair to make sure our feet are fast from carrying, are fast free from carrying the errands of our sins. This is the second round of the great tournament of Lent. Then we get into the third round. So we have forgiveness, we have fasting. And there we have almsgiving, in which we're able to then offer our love and support to somebody who we are in, may be in need, and not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And not to go out and explain and to say, oh, this is how I'm helping someone. Let it be done privately, as we heard in the scripture today. In all this, then, we're moving above and beyond into every single round of the beautiful period of Great Lent. Then we get into that next round that is preparing us for the ultimate final. The ultimate final being that of Great and Holy Week. But before we can get into any of those things, we must take part in the divine services of the church. Because if we just come on a Sunday during the Lenten season, we know that there are three other services that the church offers us in spiritual growth. That way, we are able to not just pray privately, hopefully in our homes, but we may gather in public worship and pray together. Because public prayer is how the church thrives. Public prayer is how we grow as a body of Christ. Public prayer is the opportunity to be strengthened for those things when we leave the church to go into our very homes. So Great Lent is not simply a time of, oh, you're supposed to do this and you can't do this. No. It's to be full of excitement. Just like the excitement of those sports players, those basketball players that will be watching to see when their school is called. You know, when I was younger, and this is off topic, I used to think that when a seminarian graduated from school, that they were drafted in like this draft class. And now with the first pick of the Holy Cross class of 2024, St. Andrew's Church in Arizona selects. I honestly thought that. I thought that that was how guys got drafted into parish life. We're going to get that announcement, everybody. We're going to get that call. Instead, it won't be on a TV screen with excitement. When your physical eyes close and your spiritual eyes open in this life, meaning when we breathe our last, our eyes are going to open and we're going to see the greatest thing that we can ever see. We're going to see our Lord on His judgment seat. And He's going to say either, well done, come on in. Or He's going to say, you didn't make the tournament. And there is no maybe next year. That's it. I only hope and pray that as we leave today, and how the world will tell us about the mad rush of modern living, that we find the time to pray, that we find the time to come to church, that we find the time to read scriptures, that we take the time to read those daily reflections that will go out, that we take the time to make sure that we love God and our neighbor, that we take the time to grant forgiveness, that we take the time that the church gives us these 40 days to be with excitement for Great Lent. Because again, you can't spell time without an I and a me. Both of us are in that time, but you can't spell time without the T, which is the cross. The cross must come first during this beautiful season. Let our Lord speak to us through the services of the church, in our homes when we pray. Take the time to listen to Him. Love this beautiful period of Great Lent, and make sure you begin it by asking and seeking forgiveness and granting forgiveness of those who you love and those that you are called to love. Amen.